SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here with you on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 Eastern. It is great to see all of you who are watching out there and those of you who are listening, of course, on Sports Grid Radio. Thanks for being part of the show today. Davis, beautiful weather here in South Florida, getting ready for a golf and baseball weekend, all getting fired up for it. You got a shot at that this weekend?
I am fired up. The weather here is also beautiful. Don't expect that it will stay beautiful that long, because before we know it, it's going to be 103 degrees outside here in the Midwest. That's the life we live.
All right, let's get to our headlines here on the show. My favorite quarterback in the NFL. Nah, just kidding. Cam Newton going back to the New England Patriots. 1 year, $14 million. So Cam is back in action, most likely, I would guess, as the starter for the Patriots next season. Tom Brady officially posted his picture. He did sign a 4-year extension with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady is going to be a 50-year-old quarterback in the NFL winning championships. It's just amazing. Conference tournament action continuing in college hoops. We're coming to the end here of the Maryland game against Michigan. We'll keep you updated on that. 14 spring games in action today. Pacers, Lakers tonight in the NBA as well. And Davis, I know that next Friday here on the show, for those of you who are loyal listeners and watchers, just to give you a programming note, we'll have our coverage as normal from Monday through Thursday next week. But Davis, you will be in the big chair for In-Game Live next Friday as we cover college basketball's NCAA tournament right here on Sports Grid. Hope you're getting pumped up for that.
Yeah, I am. I actually think it's going to be a really unique experience to be watching the games and then also be simultaneously on TV. Because normally, you know, that first day of March Madness, that's the day you call out of work, you put your sick days in, you take your vacation, you order a bunch of food, and you just veg out on the couch for like 12 hours as your bracket busts and you are betting on all the games. I'm coming in very ignorant of a lot of these teams, so I'm going to be learning a lot as it happens. It's going to be an experience for sure.
Yeah, I think that, look, I'm still going to fill out a bracket this year. Like, I can't see myself not doing that. That's the easy part because it's guessing. But I am a tortured soul with the brackets in the NCAA tournament. And for 5 years straight, Davis, when I used to work over on satellite radio, the guys at RotoWire used to do a fantasy basketball NCAA tournament draft. And I participated in it, and I would be in it every year. And at that time, I was following it a lot more closely. And back-to-back years, I was winning going into the championship game with the team that I picked, and I ended up finishing second. It just destroyed me. I thought I had such a good shot. I think I had Trae Young 1 year. Like, I knew all the players. I knew exactly who would go far. And again, you're taking players that you want to go very deep into the tournament. So like Gonzaga, for example, this year would be players that you would take. I enjoyed it so much. But then the final year that I did it, I had some serious sour grapes. So what happened was we did our draft. And this was pre-COVID, right? So this is just a regular draft season, as you can imagine, Davis. And there was 10 players in the draft, 10 people in the draft. So we drafted our teams. And I don't remember the circumstance, and I don't remember the name of the player. But somebody took a player on when we did the draft on Monday. And on Tuesday at practice, the player got hurt and was going to be out of the NCAA tournament. I don't remember who it was. I can't even remember. But then the owner of the team said that he should be able to pick up somebody else and play them. And I was like, why? Like, I don't understand. Like, well, that should not be the case. Like, there are no pickups in this. We've never. And there was fighting and emails and going back and forth. And the owner said that if he wasn't able to pick a replacement, that he was going to bail on the league. And I was like, I mean, like, that's insane and ridiculous. But I suppose if this has to happen, let's allow this owner to just take the replacement player on the team. But he shouldn't be able to go into the entire player pool and pick somebody else left. They let him go into the player pool and pick somebody else left. And Davis, that was the last year that I participated in that tournament. I was really against that at the time. I did not think it was handled correctly, and bailed the following year. Because I was like, look, if we just have no rules doing this, then I'm just, you know. And I played out that season, make no mistake about it. But after that, I was done. So I don't know if I should be held in contempt for doing that, but I just didn't think it was right.
No, you can't be involved. Like, there's nothing worse than when you're in a fantasy league and one guy is holding the rest of the league hostage with a bad attitude. I mean, we've all been there. And that's one of the things that really appeals to me about, you know, some of these big tournaments for best ball, for NFL, for the NFBC. Like, one person can't be the fly in the ointment there. There's a corporate infrastructure keeping them from doing that, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, and when there's money involved too, and there was a little money involved in this too, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like $20 a head. In fact, the year before, somebody who was in it refused to pay at the end. I go, $20, refused to pay. Like, we had to get somebody to track them down and didn't want to pay at the end, was disappointed in the way it worked out. Like, you can't make this kind of stuff up. Like, you would think adults would not have to go through this at this stage. I came back even after that person didn't pay, and I didn't get my second place money because of that. So ridiculous, but... part of fantasy, part of life, I suppose. All right, coming up next, for those of you who are getting ready this weekend to check out some NASCAR action, or maybe even not, you really should, because Jim Sanis does a fantastic job helping you win money over on FanDuel. So stay tuned. He's got a preview of the Instacart 500.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today, as we check in on the NASCAR circuit, our friend Jim Sanis, of course, of Number Fire, joins us each and every week to break down the odds on FanDuel, get a little preview of the upcoming race this week. Jim, we're headed to Phoenix, and it is great to see you here on this Friday. What's going on?
It is good to see you, too. Pretty excited for Phoenix because it's a fun racetrack, especially last year once they moved to the new rules package, these shorter, flatter tracks. It led to some really good racing, especially in the spring. That race was tremendous. I'm kind of hoping we get a duplication of that this year, and I have no reason to expect it to be different because we got a lot of drivers who could realistically contend. So I'm expecting a pretty good product out of the NASCAR Cup Series this week.
Yeah, by the way, I know that I saw, I think, maybe on Monday morning, there was some sort of controversy with Kyle Busch. He was all upset or something like that, yelling at his guys in the car and cursing. And then I know that they had to review something, his spin or something in a truck race. And what was going on with Kyle Busch this weekend?
If Kyle Busch has access to a radio, Kyle Busch will be angry. Like, that's kind of the baseline rule. And that's kind of the fun thing about him is that he is fully unfiltered. The controversies from the Truck Series race earlier that weekend where he probably intentionally spun his truck in order to get a caution. You know, that can happen occasionally. He obviously did not admit it because Bubba Wallace got fined pretty heavily for admitting it a couple years ago. So he knew better. He's a veteran. He knew not to admit that he did it on purpose, but seemed pretty obvious. But he's an entertaining guy because, you know, we see a lot of athletes will keep things close to the vest, you know, the training with the media. Kyle Busch probably is trained with the media, but sometimes acts as if he's not, which I am very appreciative of personally.
Yeah, no doubt. And as we look at the odds for the Instacart 500 this week, we'll see that Kyle Busch is without a doubt an option this weekend. Chase Elliott is the favorite at 5.5 to 1. Kevin Harvick is 6 to 1. And there is Kyle Busch at 7 to 1. Denny Hamlin, 7 to 1. Keselowski, 7 to 1. And both Kyle Larson and Joey Logano are 8-1 this weekend. So, Jim, this is not my expertise, simply put, but Instacart 500. What I usually do is I check in for a few minutes on Sunday. I check in. I always remember what you say. So then Monday morning, it's like I do my review to see what ended up happening. But I'm always excited because NASCAR was one of those sports now that I followed for so long, and they came back last year before anybody else did. So I'm always, even if I'm only watching 5 or 10 minutes a race, I'm keeping on top of the way things went. So give us a preview of this week's race.
Yeah, I think that if you want a read on this week's race, you want to go back to last year and look at what drivers did in the 750 horsepower package, because the first four races this year, only one of them is using that package. That was a road course. We have not seen a track this year, an oval this year, using this rules package. So you kind of got a glimpse back at last year. What we saw last year in this package was that the Penske cars and the Hendrick cars were dominant. So that means Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano are going to be my two favorites for this week. Keselowski 7-1, Logano 8-1. So they're not the favorites for this week, but they actually do lead my win simulations as far as the most likely winners for this week. There were six total races on short flat tracks last year. Keselowski and Logano combined to win three of them, and they had just one finish combined outside the top four. So 12 total races, one finish outside the top four. Seems pretty good. They come back here once again this year, and I'd expect Penske to carry that over into this year. So it's kind of pick your poison between those two guys. I would say they're the best bets. You might not want to bet both because their odds are relatively short, but I do think that they are the main guys I'd be focusing on here at the top end of the odds boards. Penske, just too good on this track type last year. These guys are very talented drivers themselves. If I had to pick, I'd probably lean toward Keselowski just because he did show more upside in those races last year. He's been better so far in 2021. So I think Keselowski at 7-1 is my favorite, but honestly, just Penske and Hendrick in general are the two teams you should be focusing on this weekend.
All right, now moving over to the DFS side, which is always, I think, an interesting challenge. Let's take a look at some of the high-end pricing, and then, of course, Jim will give the mid-tier and the low-tier as well if there's anyone to consider. This week, Kevin Harvick is at 14,000, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, he's at 14,000. So even though Chase Elliott is the favorite in betting, Harvick is the highest price this weekend at the Instacart 500. We also have Chase Elliott at 13,500, Denny Hamlin at 13,000, Keselowski, who Jim mentioned very high on them this week at 12,500, and Joey Logano sits there at 12,000. We can go deeper down to Busch, Larson, Truex Jr. Let's build a lineup for people this week.
Yeah, I think that for me, it actually does revolve around the same two guys at the top, Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, because for this race, it is 312 laps long, which means you need to prioritize drivers who can lead laps. And what easier access to laps led than the guy starting in the pole, which is Brad Keselowski. He's $12,500. You do want a second driver in your lineup, too, who can lead laps, which is why I think that Logano makes a lot of sense. Not that high of a salary, $12,000, starting in ninth, which is high enough to lead laps. So I think that you can go with both those guys at the top of your lineup for DFS too. But in general, I think the overall strategy is get two lap leaders in each lineup and then build from there. Outside of Logano and Keselowski at the top end, I think that Chase Elliott makes a lot of sense, but also his teammate, Kyle Larson. He is $11,300, just won last week. And even when he was with Chip Ganassi Racing, he had a lot of success at Phoenix. Now, didn't win and didn't lead a lot of laps there, but he was always at the front, always getting top fives, and now in better equipment, had that good run last week. I think he makes sense, and also the teammate of Keselowski and Logano, Ryan Blaney, at 10-5. As far as the non-studs, the guys you can use to afford Keselowski, Logano, Larson, Blaney, and guys like that, I think we're looking at place differential there, and I think you can allow yourself to dip further back in the pack, try to find guys starting deeper who will work their way forward, and one of those guys is Larson's teammate, Alex Bowman, starting back in 21st position. He is $9,000 on FanDuel, and he is a Phoenix native, from around the area when he was driving for Dale Earnhardt Jr. back in the day when Jr. was out with a concussion. Bowman led like 90-something laps, and that was before he was a full-time driver. Had a decent amount of success last year on tracks like this. I think that Bowman makes a lot of sense. Other guys starting further back who could work their way forward, get place differential points, Matt DiBenedetto, Eric Almirola, and Cole Custer. They're starting back there because they've had rough starts to this year, but you look back to last year on the 750 horsepower tracks, they all ran pretty well. DiBenedetto had four top four top tens in six races on tracks like this. Almirola, six top tens in 10 races using this package. Cole Custer got a top 10 in the first Phoenix race. Overall did run pretty well, and it was his best track type based on his aggregate average running position. So I think that those guys are the drivers you turn to in order to jam in Keselowski, Logano, etc. So to me, Craig, I think it's more weak about balance. I don't like a lot of the drivers with salaries under Cole Custer at $7,300. They're drivers I can talk myself into for sure, but no one I want to commit to. So to me, it means avoiding potentially, you know, being underweight on guys like Kevin Harvick at the top because the salary is so high, and then dipping down, making sure my lineup has a bit more balance so that I'm not dipping too low in the salary tier and using drivers who I don't think have a lot of finishing upside.
Great stuff as always, Jim. 3:30 Eastern on Sunday at Phoenix Raceway, 1 mile. We'll see what ends up happening. And of course, we'll be very much locked in. Brad Keselowski seems to be in a really good spot on the pole. We'll see what ends up happening this weekend. Where are we headed after this week, Jim, on the NASCAR circuit?
They're heading to Atlanta next week, which is another 1.5 mile track, but it's very different from what we had last week in Las Vegas because there's a lot of tire wear there. So if you're looking for a comp for Atlanta, it's more similar to Homestead because the tire fall off there is pretty big. I'm not sure if there's a track on the circuit outside of maybe Darlington where the tire fall off is as big as it is in Atlanta. So they'll be slipping and sliding. It should be a lot of fun, but just a one-stop, one race, you know, deviation from the 1.5 mile tracks here for this weekend in Phoenix, going back to the 1.5 milers next week.
All right. Follow Jim Sanis on Twitter at Jim Sanis. All of his work and simulations over at NumberFire. And each and every week, Jim gives you a preview of the upcoming week of NASCAR. And you can bet all of these, of course, over on FanDuel. Play on the DFS side over on FanDuel. That's where we're getting all of the pricing and showing you here on the show. Jim, have yourself a great weekend. Thank you again for the appearance. And we will catch up again next week.
I appreciate it, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck to you this weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. Back to fantasy baseball we go. Gray Albright will join us coming up next. The Raz Slam continues. Also, the League of Alternative Baseball reality for 2021 is officially in the books. So we'll take a look at Gray's team. We'll talk about some of the players that he likes in the fantasy baseball season as well. Stay on the grid. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and over on our YouTube channel as well. Like, subscribe, and please rate our show. And you'll get populated, get the show to you every single day. Sports Grid continues with more fantasy sports today in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Fantasy Sports Today, our weekly chat with the effervescent Gray Albright, Razzball.com. You can follow on Twitter at Razzball. He may send one tweet a day or 100 a day. It just depends on the day. You never know with Gray. This past weekend was the League of Alternative Baseball Reality Drafts. I was in one. Gray was in one as well, so we're going to review that. And, of course, as we talk about every day here on the show, the Raz Bowl is going on. There's just so many drafts this time of the year, Gray. It's a great time to be a baseball fan.
Yeah, no. I was actually looking to see if I wanted to join another draft, and then I was like, I don't know, maybe a little reprieve for a couple days before I start up another draft because I just finished like four.
Yeah, well, we have one that we're going to be competing against coming up in about a week. The Tout Wars draft is coming up. You and I are both in the National League, and we're going to go head-to-head in the auction, so be careful what you say here. But let's go back and review, if you wouldn't mind, your League of Alternative Baseball reality draft, and I want to go over some of the players that you took. So let's show people your first few picks, and then we'll kind of get your analysis from there. Your first pick overall was Trevor Story of the Colorado Rockies. You had your second pick with Eloy Jimenez, and you were picking, you know, more or less, you know, toward the mid to back end here of the snake draft. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Toronto Blue Jays, George Springer of the Toronto Blue Jays. I did the same exact thing, I think, in my draft, ironically. Blake Snell, and we'll stop with Alec Bohm here because we don't want to mention Carlos Carrasco. You can't be too happy with that pick right now.
Yeah, no, not at all. That's actually my Raz Slam. I was like, with the Raz Slam, for people who don't know, it's a best ball points league. So you really are looking just to get the best points possible that are on the board. I was really excited for Trevor Story, as you'll see, I guess, in a few minutes with my labor draft. I also took Trevor Story. I'm like, I feel like with Trevor Story, it's, you know, Arenado, like if Arenado was still with the Rockies, no one would be like, oh, Trevor Story is a great pick because of Arenado. Like right. That would never happen, you know? But now that Arenado has left the Rockies, suddenly everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, you can't draft Rockies anymore. There's no more Arenado. It's like, I wasn't drafting Rockies for Arenado. I was drafting them for Coors. And I was drafting Trevor Story because he's a 30-plus homer, 15-steal guy who also hits for a good average. Like, that's what I'm drafting Trevor Story for.
Yeah, and you ended up getting him in both leagues. As Gray mentioned, what you just looked at was his Raz Bowl league. And, of course, we're doing that as well. But here is a look at his League of Alternative Baseball Reality auction, which, to me, the auction is just so much more compelling than a draft because you basically have a budget. You have to figure out how much you're going to spend. And Gray did end up paying big, as you're going to see here, for Trevor Story. And Story was basically, if I'm not mistaken, it was $35 for him. Some other players that you see here on the board, Alec Bohm, who you got in both drafts, it looked like, here at 25. Pete Alonso at 24. Freddie Freeman at 34. And I suppose we can stop there. Is there anyone else that you want to mention that you were really impressed with? I kind of know your strategy a little bit. Like you're conservative, but you are not afraid at all to spend big on any player. I know that going against you. You're always involved. You're always bidding. And you end up with a lot of $30, $40 players usually.
Right. Yeah, no, I do. I like bidding on hitters for sure. Pitchers, I'm usually pretty conservative on. I don't usually go over, say, like $20. Unfortunately, a guy I was targeting in every league was Carlos Carrasco, as you briefly mentioned before. And, you know, with his elbow potentially injury, I don't know. The Mets are saying that it's something that he deals with every spring. So, hopefully, thinking good thoughts, but you never want to hear a pitcher has an elbow injury. So right now, I'm definitely, like, if this draft were happening tomorrow, I wouldn't be drafting Carlos Carrasco anymore. He was a guy who I went for before I heard about the elbow news. So I like to bid on hitters. I feel like even, you know, snake draft or auction draft, I always go hitters heavy early because I just feel like hitters are more reliable than pitchers. As you know, as I just said with Carrasco, like pitchers are just not very reliable when it comes to you know, either injuries or, you know, even if you look at their stats, like ERA and WHIP to a certain extent are both based off of a lot of luck and has to do with defense and a lot of factors that are out of the pitcher's control. Where a hitter, if he's got power and speed, he has power and speed. There's no luck involved.
Yeah. Let me ask you something that I found interesting because I was last week in an auction too, the mixed league in labor. And, you know, I found it kind of fascinating to me, Gray, that the whole online auction. I felt like I did okay. And, you know, people said my team looks good, but they say everybody's team looks good. Let's be honest. But the reality of it was I felt less comfortable because I didn't feel like I had a good read of the room, like who was in on some of the players and who wasn't. How are you feeling doing these, not the snake drafts, because those could all be done online very simply, but how do you feel about doing the auctions online? I know a lot of people do them and they say they enjoy them, but for me, I like being there in person.
Yeah, no, it's a miserable experience, to be quite frank. I don't like it at all. I'm a huge fan of in-person auctions. I think that's the best part of fantasy just for any, you know, football, basketball, baseball, anything, any fantasy element, there's nothing better than an in-person auction. I think that's the pinnacle, you know, just getting together in a group, in a room with a bunch of your friends and, you know, bidding and having like, you know, and feeling the room and knowing like who's going for who and who, you know, and who's off of what. And it's like online, you just don't have that feel at all. And it's so impersonal. It's just like you're clicking a mouse button for 4 hours. Like, it was really, I was kind of miserable, to be honest. The draft was real. It was tough. I mean, it was really like you have to, like, it's so hard to stay focused when you're not in a room with everyone, too. It's like your mind starts drifting.
Your mind starts drifting. That's very surprising.
Yeah. Your TV's on. You're like eating dinner and people are like, oh, and then you start drafting. And also, like, there's the element, like, no matter how good the draft rooms are, like, you click on, you know, bid up $1, and before you know it, you've actually bid up $4. Like, I didn't mean to do that. Like, give me back my money.
Yeah. What was interesting in the draft that I was in the auction, excuse me, was there was another participant against me, you know, obviously there, and Mike Trout was up. Mm-hmm. And in a room where you're sitting around, we just keep going up by a buck, you know, when you get to the 40s, maybe even close to 50. Yeah. But what I noticed was every time I bid, it automatically went one higher. And I realized after doing it twice, this guy put it in auto bid.
He did auto. Yeah, that's the
mistake.
I know.
So I just kept pressing it up until it went to the end. and then I stopped. He went one more and I bid the guy up $7. And I'm like, there's no way I could do that in the room.
I know. I was doing the same. I feel like that was that hopefully people figured that out towards like the middle to end of the draft. But in the early on, like I was doing the same thing. I was like, obviously this guy has a max bid in there, so I could just bid up until he's maxed out. Like, it's like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, yeah, and you're right. Like, that can never happen in the room. Like, you bid up a guy in the room, and you can also, like, when you're in the room, you can sort of feel out people's, you know, their enthusiasm. Like, if someone's like, $4. But if someone else is like, $4, $5, $6, right, like, you can tell immediately, it's like, that guy's excited about this player.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm looking forward to next week and you know, getting to go against you, and then we can talk about it the following week. But no, yeah, it's definitely a different experience, not being there in person for sure. Okay, before we go, Gray, anyone new on the radar for you, or anyone moving up or down? Are you more interested in a player than you were a week ago? I guess that's a good way to close it out.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a deep call, but Isaac Paredes on the Tigers. Okay. He just hit a home run the other day, and you know, even beyond that, like, the Tigers seem like they want him to win a job out of camp, which, you know, and he's also a guy who, like, you know, I think the projections say he's at, like, you know, a 15 homer player over like maybe 275 at bats. But if he can win an everyday job, he could actually be like a huge steal, considering he's going very late. Like, he's a dollar player in auctions, or like after 350, 400 overall.
What position is he playing?
He's listed as a position eligibility as third base, but they're looking at him even at second. Like, they're potentially a utility guy.
Yeah, I texted somebody the other day in that organization, and Willie Castro was the one name I got back as a definitive guy can hit, believe.
I believe.
And by the way, not a lot of other names I got back. That was the one. So usually when that happens for me, that's a tip for everybody out there. I mean, I'm not texting my buddies. I'm trying to get info, no doubt. Okay, Razzball.com. Make sure you subscribe to Gray's service. Gray and all the great people who were there are simply winning leagues. Rudy Gamble, Donkey Teeth, all the great people over there winning leagues every year. They do a great job, and subscribe to their service. They will help you win fantasy baseball leagues. I am certain of it because Gray has beaten me every year that we've done this. So hopefully that will change this year. Gray, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, at Razzball on Twitter, Gray Albright. We'll take a quick timeout. We got fantasy reality as we come up and end this show in just a couple of minutes. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Time for a little fantasy or reality as we end the show. Also, Michigan looking pretty good against Maryland today. Complete comeback there in the Big Ten tournament. So we'll update you all throughout the day here. Scott Farrell coming up, 4 o'clock Eastern, coast to coast. Game time decisions in-game live every day, every night, this weekend, covering college basketball for you. Speaking of college basketball, peculiar story yesterday where Patrick Ewing, the head coach at Georgetown, essentially went on a rant after the game in the post game, saying that he was asked who he was several times at Madison Square Garden, asked to show his ID, asked for a lot of different things. And I would say this, Davis, before we get to fantasy reality, I don't know what's weirder, the fact that this happened to Patrick Ewing or the fact that he would spend a couple of minutes in a post game talking about this. I'm not sure which one is stranger. Fantasy or reality, all Madison Square Garden employees need to know who Patrick Ewing is.
I mean, this has to be a reality. How is it possible that you can be employed by the New York Knickerbockers, you know, and not know who Patrick Ewing is? Did you not watch Space Jam when you were a kid? I mean, seriously, like I am 28 years old, Patrick Ewing. I have no memories of watching him play basketball, but I know who Patrick Ewing is. I know what he looks like. I know what he talks like just from Space Jam and from, you know, passing cultural relevancy. And I live quite a ways away from Madison Square Garden. I can't really imagine the position of an employee not knowing who he is. Like, that just seems bizarre.
Yeah, look, it's a reality, but I don't know why Patrick Ewing spent 2 minutes talking about this yesterday either. He's totally right. Like, I mean, everybody should know who he is, but so bizarre that was a focus of the day. He is 7 foot tall. You would make that assumption that everyone has a phone and you could just take a look and see, do I know who this person is? So yeah, it's obviously a reality, but I think it's honestly weirder that he mentioned it as opposed to just mentioning it to somebody else saying, hey, like they keep, you know, asking me who I am, but going public with it, I guess got a response from the owner of the Knicks. So I suppose that's what he wanted, but yes, reality, everyone should know who Patrick Ewing is. All right. On to our second fantasy or reality question of the day. This is one that I just refuse to believe. I still cannot believe that this is going to happen at all. Fantasy reality, Russell Wilson will get moved before Deshaun Watson. I'm going first here, Davis, on this one. I don't think Russell Wilson's getting traded, period, the end. I don't think it's happening. I refuse to believe it. I can't believe Seattle would be this stupid. I understand the reasoning behind Houston doing it. They do need to tear it down. Wilson's made his point known. I'm sorry, Watson has made his point known. I mean, Wilson hasn't been that strong on it, and he is the franchise in Seattle. Like, you'll never be able to find another guy like this. And by the way, Seattle's still good. Like, they're a 9 or 10 win team. Houston, even with Watson next year, going to win 6 games. Fantasy for me. No way. Watson gets moved, yes. Draft night, yes. That's when it happens. I've been saying that for months here on the show. Everyone's so excited the second they talk about him getting traded. They're going to stretch this right down to the draft. 10 seconds before they pick, that's when the deal is going to be made. So I got fantasy here. I don't even think Wilson gets moved at all. I think he's back with Seattle.
So to this specific question, I am going to say fantasy. I do think that Deshaun Watson ends up being traded before Russell Wilson, but I do disagree with you that Russell Wilson starts for the Seahawks in 2021. I think it's very rare to see head coaches and star quarterbacks disagree like this publicly and then see that relationship be amended, because it's very clear what's at play here. Russell Wilson is sick and tired of Carroll ball, doesn't like running the ball on first and second down, you know, doesn't want to be throwing 28 times a game, doesn't want to be handing off to Rashad Penny instead of throwing the ball. And Pete Carroll says, look, we won a Super Bowl. I won a lot in college playing this way. Pete Carroll's 73 years old. Do we think that we are going to reinvent the wheel with 73-year-old Pete Carroll? I think probably not. They keep turning over offensive coordinators because Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and, you know, offensive coordinator X, Y, or Z can't all get on the same page. So I do think that the answer to this specific question is fantasy. Deshaun Watson goes before, but I do think that Russell Wilson will be on a different team to start the 2021 season.
Let me double down on this and pose another question to you here. So first of all, Pete Carroll at USC was throwing the ball all over the place with Matt Leinart and Jarrett, and throwing the ball to Reggie Bush. And I know they had Lendell White, but that was a throwing team. They were putting 50 spots up on teams at USC. Prior to that in the NFL, though, yes, spot on. Why in the first 8 games of the season was Russell Wilson throwing the ball all over the place and looked like the MVP, and that just stopped? What was the reason for that? Legitimate question. I just cannot figure that out. Did they just simply completely change the game plan out of nowhere for nothing?
I don't know if they changed it out of nowhere for nothing, but I think that probably Pete Carroll looked at the results they were getting, and he doesn't want to play 35 to 32 games. That's not Pete Carroll's way. That's also, by the way, not really Brian Schottenheimer's way, who was the offensive coordinator last year. But I think it is undeniable that when you look at all quarterbacks in the NFL, you look at the results that Russell Wilson has gotten, Russell Wilson should play for a team that wants him to throw 40 times a game, that wants him to succeed, that wants him to put the team on his back. And I don't think that's what the Seahawks want. I think the Seahawks and Pete Carroll would prefer to be a run-the-ball team.
Well, that'll be the end of that franchise if they choose to go this route. I can't believe that that's where we're at, but we'll see over the next month. Okay, finally here, if you missed our discussion about the Los Angeles Angels and their season win total, you can go and watch us on demand on our YouTube channel. Access that very easily. Shohei Ohtani, someone that Davis is very bullish on going into the 2021 season, willing to put some money on him to win the MVP. So I think I know the answer here. Fantasy or reality, Shohei Ohtani will win an MVP before he retires.
So the way to frame this question is really, will Shohei Ohtani at some point in his Major League Baseball career stay healthy for 162 games, right? Not injure his pitching arm, not roll an ankle, not bust a thumb, play 162 games, play for an Angels team or another team, right? I guess it doesn't have to be the Angels. They could trade him. He could leave. That wins 95 games, you know, wins their division, looks like a team that can contend for the World Series, and do all of those things while performing to how well he did in 2018, right? So 25 home runs, 3.5 ERA, striking out a batter per inning. And I'm bullish, right? We were talking earlier in the show about, you know, the upside case that I see for the Angels as a whole. So I'm going to say this is a reality. That Ohtani beats out his teammate, Mike Trout, for an MVP and does stay healthy for an entire season as a pitcher and a hitter.
Yeah, the one thing that he does have going against him is the fact that Trout is there and putting up MVP numbers all the time. But I think we've seen a shift in that. I still think that you can win the MVP with somebody else on your team having a fantastic year. I wouldn't rule that out. Look, I don't know how we've gone down this road, but a few years ago when Ohtani was a free agent, this was the number one story in baseball for months. And the most coveted free agent that was discussed in years. And the Angels ended up getting him. and beat out the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken. They were the one team that was in on him. I think San Diego may have been also. And so how did we go from that to no discussion about Ohtani? Like in his first year in the big leagues, when I was doing shows like this, he was literally at least 10 to 15 minutes of every single show that we did, regardless of the position eligibility and all of that. It was just unbelievable discussion. And for the reasons that you illustrated earlier in the program, it is like Babe Ruth. We just haven't seen anything like this. Brendan McKay of the Tampa Bay Rays, a two-way player also, hasn't worked out for him. He has been hurt. Maybe there is just something to this of having to do both and staying healthy. It's not possible. I don't know the answer. That would appear to be the case thus far with Ohtani. But I will say this, I am with you. I think if he's able to pull this off, not even to the degree that we're even talking about, not even 20 starts, 15 starts is I think that we mentioned, 25 home runs. The skill set for somebody to do this at the major league level is not something that we've seen in my lifetime. So why are we not talking about this more? Why were we talking about it a few years ago? This is basically where I stand with this. Davis, if he gets hurt again, I'm never going to believe this again. This is going to, I have to say that this has got to be it. Because
yeah.
at some point, the myriad of injuries, you got to look at it as more than just anecdotal. It's like a one-time thing. Like now we're at the point where I'm going to say, you know what? Players just can't do this. If he can't do it this year. But I think he can. I'm with you. I think that last year, I think it was with me and Joe Pisapia, we both, I think, thought that we both picked Ohtani to win the MVP. I think I'll probably do it again with you. I feel like there's a chance. Don't think that the Angels have to win a lot of games for him to be able to do it. And it's a story that I think has fallen by the wayside just because of his several injuries that he's had. But we should be going into the year again talking about him being one of the most important players in all of baseball. So I am with you. I do think that he will win the MVP. And I'm going to give it basically this year and with the right to reserve my opinion after this year if he gets hurt again. Because, Davis, honestly, there are some players that just get hurt a lot. Like we've been down this road with Judge and Stanton, and it's so funny right. to me to see people on social media yesterday, and reporters, by the way, on social media saying, there's still a lot of great reasons to believe on Stanton because of this home run that he hit in spring training. I'm like, I mean, I watched this guy play in Miami for 5 years. Yeah, he had some unlucky injuries. But at some point, you have to come around to the fact that staying healthy is a skill. There is luck involved, but it is a skill, staying healthy. Ohtani has not had that yet.
So as far as I can tell, Shohei Ohtani is basically the only human in world history over the last 75 years to do this. In 2016, in the Nippon League, he hit... he had 382 plate appearances. He hit 22 home runs. At the same time, he also started 21 games, had a whip under one, 174 strikeouts over that time frame. So, like, Shohei Ohtani has actually done this. Like, this is not like Brandon McKay, where Brandon McKay did a little bit of both when he was in the minors. Right. But Shohei Ohtani did both as a professional at a young... And also, we talk about Shohei Ohtani like he's a vet. He is only 26 years old. Like, he's still kind of going into that prime baseball age. Like, I mean, we have guys who are 35 winning Cy Youngs, you know? So I'm leaving the light on for Shohei Ohtani. It's a reality. He's going to win an MVP.
Yeah, hope so. Look, it would be a great story. It'd be a great story for baseball, seeing this guy in the All-Star game pitching and hitting. Can you imagine? It'd be fantastic. Like, this is the story we're looking for in sports and in baseball to make baseball jump on the map. Will it happen? I don't know, but fantasy sites, you guys got to get your act together and make this dude one guy, because then he becomes the most important player in the draft. Sports Grid 60 is coming up next, and then we got to say so long here for the weekend, but Davis and I, of course, will be right back here on Monday at noon for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. So when you stay on the grid and we return, we have our final opinion of the week here on FST, sportsgrid.com, back in 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another team bowing out of the conference tournament has signed Kansas out of the Big 12 due to COVID issues. Really interesting tournament coming our way next week. Of course, all of it will be played in Indianapolis, but certainly this weekend the conference championships will be played, and we'll keep you updated right here on Sports Grid. Let's turn it over to Davis as we end the show with the Sports Grid 60. Davis?
So we talked earlier in the show about the minor league rules changes, but I thought of the easiest rule change that Major League Baseball can do to make their sport more exciting and more fun, and it is having the best players play all the time. Remove the incentives in the next collective bargaining agreement for us to not be able to see Jared Kelenic and Joe Adell and Bobby Witt Jr. I know the players have like no leverage on this, but try explaining to someone who's not a baseball fan, who, you know, really likes football, explain to them why Bobby Witt Jr. is not going to be with the Royals from day one, and it will make absolutely no sense to them. Baseball, it's the stupidest rule in organized sports. I absolutely hate the service time rules.
Yeah, and you would think eventually they would get that turned around for sure, no doubt. All right, so to end the show today, there's a number of things that I wanted to talk about, but I think that the most important one is as you prepare and you get ready for these fantasy drafts that you're doing, there's a couple of things to keep in mind, especially in fantasy baseball. Make sure that you're making your own pick. I don't think that that gets said enough. There are so many people and so many opinions that are out there, myself included, Davis included, and I'm getting so many messages now on social media and asking, but you know, always work it back to you. You're the one that's going to be managing the team all season long, and if you're really looking for a deferral to have a pick be incorrect where the person that you asked got it wrong, to use that as an excuse, it's pretty weak. Make your own selections in fantasy sports. Make sure you get your opinions, but in the end, you're the one that's clicking the button. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again all week long for James and some extra help too, recording some interviews, no doubt about that. Brett, Danny, and Ryan all week long. Brett, despite failing in the fantasy draft, still doing a great job producing this show for sure. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mitch. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday, noon, here on Sports Grid. Have a great day. See ya.